Hi everyone. So this is a little bit different from my usual audio setup, but I thought that I could turn this into kind of a sleepover. So I am in bed and I have my headphones plugged into my laptop, and I'm going to be doing an AMA. Yay! Woohoo! And we're going to be answering some questions from some really lovely people. And there may be bed sounds. You could probably hear the air conditioner going. I don't know. But yeah, like, I am a big fan of AMAs and kind of like meta recordings, because I really like to sort of learn about the people behind the audios, and I think it's a lot of fun. And so, I just really like sort of extraneous sounds. So, if you hear some bed sounds, sheet sounds, let's just pretend this is a sleepover, okay? my name is Lily Phoenix. I used to be on GWA a long time ago, it was about 2 years ago, left for a bit, and now I'm back. I really like music. It's one of my favorite things, and so, yeah, like, I know I've posted, like, a lot of covers, and I do post, like, a lot of covers, but I just really enjoy singing, so I hope that doesn't bother anyone. And I'm sorry to disappoint if, like, you know, you're hoping for, like, a sexy audio and you get a song instead, but such is the nature of the, creative beast that is Lily. So, I'm gonna start out with some questions. I have them in order of the people who asked them, so it's sort of like, who asked which question first? So I'm gonna start out with Pretty Bookworm. Hey Bookie. So Bookie's asking, if your life was turned into a movie, what actor would play you? Oh, that's a difficult one. So I'm Asian. I am guessing someone sort of that looks kind of Pan-Asian? I don't know. I really like that kid who played Moana, but I don't think she looks like me at all. I guess it depends on the time of life, but I would say either Carvalho? Is that how you say her name? Kid who played Moana. Or, maybe Zoe Saldana. That's like grown up me. I really like Zoe Saldana. Next question is, what fictional characters do you identify with the most? Okay, so growing up, I was a huge, Star Trek fan. And like I said, I'm Asian. I'm half Indian, half Chinese. And I really identified with a character in Star Trek Voyager. It was B'Elanna Torres, because she's like half Klingon, half human, and, you know, really hot-tempered, and I used to be really hot-tempered. Probably still am. And what I really liked about her was that not only was she sort of half Klingon, half human, but she was also half like Hispanic, so I don't know, it just felt really nice having that kind of sort of minority representation on a TV show. She's sort of like minority of a minority, you know, because she's like half Klingon as well, and it's just sort of how she is, you know, really, really good at what she does, but she's also like struggling with dealing with herself and her identity, and I don't know, I really identified with her. Also, I really like Tom Paris, so I mean, come on, everybody likes the hot pilot, right? Besides that, it's probably Commander Shepard, from Mass Effect. I know it's kind of dumb because he, like, basically you play as Shepard, so whatever Shepard you make is kind of the product of your choices, but I think Paragon Shep and I share a lot of similarities. There are a lot of lines where Shepard would say something in the game and I would be like, oh my god, that was, like, you know, right on the tip of my tongue, and I was gonna say that, and then Shepard said it, and I was like, yes. And yeah, and we share a birthday, and I don't know, I always sort of, I had a really nice childhood in that I don't feel like I'm particularly defined by how I grew up. So, like, the whole spacer origin for Shepard really, like, appealed to me. And yeah, I mean, she's kind of, Femme Shep is like my ideal body type, my ideal, I don't know, I just like everything about the whole aesthetic, and that really, like, yeah, like, really appeals to me. So yeah, thank you for your questions, Becky. I think you're awesome. The next question is by My Erotica Mind, and she asks, if you could come back in time only one more time to relive your life, when would you go? And you're not allowed to come back to today. Ooh, this one might get a little heavy. I'm sorry in advance. But yeah. So growing up, I had a really close family friend, and she was just the absolute most incredible adult I had ever met. So you know how adults tend to try to sort of keep their distance from the kids, right? But she was like, no, she was right there with all of us. I would remember times where we'd go on, like, family vacations, and she would be up with us until, like, 4 in the morning just talking and playing games, you know? Like, she tried really hard to sort of make us feel welcome, like we were part of one big family, and that really, like, struck a chord with me, and it really kind of shaped how I am and how I deal with like, younger people especially. And yeah, so unfortunately about 3 years ago we lost her to cancer. It was a very aggressive cancer, and so if I could go back, I would probably go back to this period of time where she was very close to passing away, and we'd actually been asked not to visit her because, you know, she was getting very close to that point. They didn't want to stress her out or upset her and bring her closer to the point of passing. And but so I decided not to go, and up to today I still really regret it because it feels like everybody in the world got to see her, but, you know, I was so worried, the whole doctor thing that they were telling us, you know, don't go, don't stress her out. And so I decided not to go. And deciding not to go was, I think, one of the things that I will always have to, like, live with. And yeah, that hurts. So that would be my one more time. I'm sorry that got really heavy, but yeah, it was the first thing that that came to mind. So, back to more questions. The next question is by Low Growl. And he asks, what's your favorite flavor or taste? One that makes you happy? Oh, that's tough. Because I like so many foods, it's so difficult to pick one. But I think the ones that I can never say no to are chocolate, coffee, and cheesecake. I know cheesecake isn't exactly like a taste, but it's a flavor of ice cream, okay? It's like totally legit. Can I pick three? Does it have to be one that makes me happy? All three of them make me happy, but I think probably chocolate is the number one. I am such a slut for chocolate. I'll do pretty much anything for like a chocolate cheesecake and coffee. So that's my favorite flavor or taste. What's the story of your first orgasm? It's the next question. Well, God. I was one of those weird kids who started really early, so I think my first orgasm was when I was 7. I remember being in the house and just feeling turned on and really wanting to touch myself. And so I did, just kind of, didn't know what I was doing, just kind of did it, and then it felt really good. And so I kept doing it. And yeah, so it's kind of like a boring story, but if we're talking about my first orgasm with the help of another person, that would be with an ex that I had who was long distance, and we were just talking one day. I can't remember about what, and somehow things got really, really sexy. And like, he said something, and it was. So this is like 14-year-old me, right? Who's trying to be sexy. And he said something like he wanted to kiss down the back of my neck or something like that. And that just like, whoa. Like that just set me off. I didn't come on the spot, but like I had to touch myself and then I did. And it was like, oh my God, I think that started the whole addiction to sort of hearing people telling me to come. It's terrible. So the next question is, tell us about your single greatest feature, personality-wise, physically, or any category that you like. God, I don't know. I don't like myself very much. That's the problem. I think, or I guess it's probably. Oh, Lord Almighty. Probably patience. I think I'm a pretty patient person. It's kind of contradictory saying that I'm kind of hot-tempered, but I tend to be the kind of person who, like, I will bear with shit for like a long time. Like, if somebody does something to me, I tend to kind of like swallow it, and I don't. Like, because my first instinct is always like to second guess myself, right? So I'm always like, oh, what if I did something wrong in that situation that made somebody behave in a certain way? So I tend to kind of like, I don't know, like keep it in and not talk about it. So I'll be patient and I'll sort of wait it out. If it happens a second time, or if it happens like a third time or fourth time, then I'm kind of like, okay, maybe something needs to be done. And then I would try to kind of bring it up in as nice a way as I can. So, yeah, I mean, I guess patience. So thank you, Growly, and my erotica mind for your questions. The next one is by Shy Romantic Eager. Hi, Shy. Oh, there goes my phone. So, is there anything you've always wanted to try but haven't? I think that I've always wanted to try but haven't. Oh, I know. Okay, so like in Japan, they have this tea that's made from cherry blossom flowers. Like when they're in season, they get them and they pickle them, and they're like, I think they're preserved in like sugar and salt. I could be wrong, but like, so these things are like preserved, and you put them in a teapot or whatever and pour water on them, and then they bloom in your cup, and they're so beautiful. It's like a flower tea. And so like, I've had chrysanthemum tea and I've had lotus tea, but oh, that's something that I've always wanted to try. And like, ever since I've seen pictures of it, I've just been like completely obsessed. So that's probably something that I've always wanted to try but I haven't. And also, I would really love to get a belly button piercing. That I've seen it being done and it kind of creeps me out, and I'm like, but I'm also like, it looks really hot. Like, I don't know, is it just me? Like, I have this thing for like belly button piercings. I think they're so sexy, but I'm also like terrified of them. I don't know, we'll see. You know, I think sometimes it's one of those things where you have to like just bite the bullet and do it, but I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Now, next question is, which of the GWA tags are a must IRL, and which would you not touch with a 10-foot pole? Well, okay, so I'm like a sucker for BFE audios. That's also just because I'm like a squishy snuggle fuck. And like, I don't know, just that whole concept is really like, for me, like, oh, I'm making sense. No, probably not. Yeah, I just really like the idea of sort of being in a relationship and getting to explore each other sexually, but I don't know. Anyway, a must-have tag. Oh, aftercare. Aftercare and snuggles are like a must-have tag right now. Hey, even with like online play recently, I've had some experiences that have taught me like the importance of aftercare. And I think it's sort of like, in some ways, it's like a normal part of a relationship if you're like together, because after you have sex, you always want to cuddle, and that's kind of like the whole purpose of it. But it can also tend to not happen if it's not discussed beforehand, so I think it's like really, really important. Now, which would I not touch with a 10-foot pole? Okay, probably, no, definitely incest and rape and beast and scat and water sports. Just no. Like, all of them, no. Even in audios, I can't. Okay, next one. Do you have a favorite recipe? This is a tough one. Because I have a couple of things that I sort of just do pretty often that I really like to do, and I eat them with pretty much anything. One of them is a gravy recipe, and another one is like a summer veggie stew kind of thing. It's based off a ratatouille recipe, but I am so hesitant to call it ratatouille for fear of offending the French, rather. And, yeah, so, and tamagoyaki. Don't know if y'all know what that is, but it's really yummy. So with the ratatouille recipe, what happened was, so of course, you know, we watched the movie Ratatouille, and we're like, oh my god, we gotta make some ratatouille. And so I ended up trying to cook it for my family, in the same way that he did it. But ever since then, I've sort of been experimenting and trying to find the best way to do it, and I found my favorite way to make that dish now is to basically get 2 or 3 squashes, you know, depending on what colors you have available. I usually get the yellow one and the green one. I think you also call them courgettes, and an eggplant, and a large onion, a couple cloves of garlic, you know, as much as you like, and a tin of like plum tomatoes. They have them stewed usually. I get one with like onion and celery already inside it. It just gives it like extra flavor. And so I just get a pan and I've chopped up everything. Oh, and also carrots and celery. So what I do is I chop up the carrot, celery, onion, garlic, and I throw it all in there, and I add some herbs. I put in a bay leaf, thyme, rosemary, lavender, basil, and some oregano. Right. So I throw all those in together, and I let it kind of get like fragrant and cook down. The one thing about this recipe is you don't want to skimp on like browning the veggies and like getting it really cooked down, because otherwise it just tastes like shit. So you want to like cook it properly until the veggies kind of start to get a little toasty brown, and then you can add in all the squash and the eggplant. And you want to be pretty like generous with the olive oil on this, because it needs to like cook the courgettes and the eggplant properly. So just gotta fry that shit until it's like mostly cooked, and then put the tomatoes in and cover and season salt and pepper and cook for like 15 to 20 minutes, and it should be kind of like a stew. And what's really yummy about this is that I have also just put everything together and thrown it into the oven, baked at 200 for like 30 minutes, and it comes out beautiful as well. And this thing, I have used it as a side dish, I have used it as a soup, like if you add like a bit more water to it, or add even like another can of tomatoes, you can just sort of blitz it up in a blender or something, and then pour it over, and then you get this delicious like summer veggie tomato soup. You can also, you know, eat it as a pasta sauce. Like, I've just thrown a bunch of pasta noodles into it at the end and eaten this well, and it's really yummy. What else? Right, oh, okay, so the important thing about this is the trick to the recipe. This is what makes it special, is you have to grate in some lemon zest. Not the juice, because it's going to be sour as fuck from the tomatoes, but lemon zest. That just makes it like a million times better. It's just so delicious. And you can have it with cheese, or you can, you know, skip the cheese, but you need the lemon zest. Let's see. Other than that, the gravy recipe. Okay, so the way I usually end up doing it is like 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of flour, I just get out like a carton of milk that's usually like 1 liter, and I see how much I need out of that. So what you do is you make a roux, which is to brown the flour and the butter and mix it together so it becomes smooth like a paste. Add the milk in and then stir it up. And I like to throw in some chicken bouillon cubes, but if you don't have those, then some pan drippings are really good. If you don't have the pan drippings, the best thing to do is actually start the butter out with some onion in it, or some onion and some mushrooms, if you have mushrooms, any kind of mushrooms. Fry it together and then add the flour in. You can add a little less if it looks a bit like, like it's not going to take very well. And yeah, so stir in as much milk as you need to get to the right consistency of sauce that you want. And keep in mind that like the longer you cook it, the thicker it's going to get. And like, so once it reaches the consistency that you want, then you can season it. And so here's what I do, and don't laugh at me because this tastes fantastic, is I add in like a tablespoon of light soy, a tablespoon of dark soy, black pepper, salt. You can switch up the amounts to whatever amount that you want. Oh, and throw in a dash of like Lee & Perrins or Worcestershire sauce. You know what I'm talking about. So you want to put some of that shit in, and once you stir it up together, it becomes just the best gravy you've ever had, and it's like a foolproof kind of recipe. You can also do this in the microwave, believe it or not, and I have done it. Like you just mix the you have to really slowly add milk to the flour and you stir it up and until it becomes smooth, and you add all the soy sauce and all that into a bowl, microwave safe bowl. Put it in for 1 minute, 30 second intervals, just like go through them and just stir it every time you open it. And just keep going until the flour taste is kind of gone. So you have to keep like tasting it as you go, but totally doable. And it's one of my favorite recipes. Tamagoyaki, what I do is I follow the same recipe almost that you use to make steamed egg, like Chinese steamed egg. And so what you want to do is you want to get a bunch of eggs. And what I do is I get a cup measure and I crack eggs into the cup measure until it's full. And that's usually like 2 or 3 eggs or 4 eggs, depending on how big they are. And once that's done, like I pour it out and I stir it, and you have to make sure not to get air bubbles in it or it's going to be really weird. And then you add in a third of a cup of water or milk or dashi if you have it. And then add some soy sauce, sugar, salt, and whatever other fixings you want to the egg itself. And then fry it and roll it and fry it and roll it and fry it and roll it. I think it's difficult to explain. I'll put a link somewhere to a tamagoyaki making like recipe or video, and you'll understand what I mean. But yeah, this thing is really yummy, and it's really great to eat with noodles or rice or what have you. And I love like Japanese, Chinese, Korean food, so that's kind of my thing. Yeah. Okay, these questions. Lady, I love you, but these questions. So these are from Lady Vicarian, and her first question first before you head to the escape pod. Oh, you know what this answer is. Everything else doesn't matter. You just gotta grab Karis and get to the escape pod. Okay, that's a lame answer, but seriously, like, screw everything else. Like, the hamster can take care of himself. My fish can die. I don't care, but I want space bay. Yeah. So, next question. If you could assemble a D&D group of 5 players, alive, dead, famous, real, or fictional, who would they be? Oh, this is. Okay, for the GM, it would probably be Tolkien. J.R.R. Tolkien, just because world building skills, man, like shit. And like, I just think you could have like the most beautiful, detailed, and like incredible worlds made for you, you know, even with languages, because he's like super into that shit. So yeah, probably be Tolkien as the GM. Let's see. Robin Williams, because voices. Benedict Cumberbatch, because Benedict Cumberbatch, I think he could just sort of be like a great addition, because he's also really good at impressions. Yeah, that's three. Possibly, oh, I don't know why my gut feeling is going to Minnie Driver, just because I think she would be such a nice addition, like both her voice as well as her acting in her mind, to sort of be able to like fall into the characters really well. But that's my gut reaction, so I'm gonna go with that, Minnie Driver. And possibly Whoopi Goldberg, because I think she could also sort of bring both the gravitas that you want to a character, but also the fun and the, I don't know, like the humor, the comedy, I suppose. So what is my favorite place on the Citadel? You know, I'm gonna answer it seriously, just because, you know that spot that Garrus takes you to go and shoot those cans? The little pissing contest he wants to have? That's my favorite place on the Citadel, right there. What would Elcor porn sound like? Oh my god. I hate you, because we talked about this. And it would be so funny, and I really think it should be like a shit post. Like having two Elcor just going at it. Being like, arouse, sigh, touch me, baby. Or like, I don't know. I can't even right now, because I can see them in my head, and they're sort of like, imagine if they were doing like a theater show of like Equus, right? Like, okay, I know, I'm freaking myself out, but you know what I'm talking about. It'd be like, with slight arousal, what do you want me to do, daddy? With deeper arousal, should I be a good girl for you, daddy? Oh my god, it's so dumb. Okay, now, You Beneath With Me asks, what's one thing you wish more people knew? One thing I wish more people knew, okay, one of my pet peeves is, you know, when people are like, he must have wanted to do something. They go must of and not must have. That's like a major pet peeve for me. It's like, no, like that's not even grammatically correct. Just please, please, like, check yourself. And I guess a more serious answer would be, I was having a really nice conversation with someone about this today, is that not everything has to be a competition. Sometimes, you know, whether it's JWA making audios, or if it's, you know, even at work, everybody is trying to sort of one-up each other and prove that they're better than someone else. But I feel like there's so much more to be gained by being friends and working together and having fun together than there is by trying to, you know, either compare yourself to someone else or bring each other down. Like, why bother? I mean, you could have so much more fun by finding fun, cool people to support you in your projects, or, you know, even collaborate with, or, like, just to have supportive friends, I think, is really nice. And that's something which I've really appreciated about coming back here, is just having, you know, really lovely, supportive, beautiful people that I've met. And so, yeah, I just wish more people would get that, you know, hey, it doesn't have to be a competition, and everybody's actually contributing to a wonderful community that, you know, will only grow better the more that we choose to work together. Sorry, that sounds so, like, political commercial, but I swear to God, I'm not working for anybody. Alright, so Bucky, who is Bucky, asks, say that out of the blue you've been invited to sing at a large or small venue with a singer or a band. Who would you sing with? Oh Lord. Invited to sing at a large or small venue with a singer or a band, who would you sing with? I think it would probably be Jason Mraz. I've actually been to one of his concerts, and I just remember having this impression, like, he made the whole, you know, huge venue seem like a really intimate gathering because of just the way his music is, and the way he kind of commanded the stage, and the way he invited everybody to participate, and everybody was really, really into it. It's just like, if there was any artist who I could collaborate with, it would probably be him. Because, you know, he's got such a smooth, beautiful way of doing music that's really organic, and he just feels like he would be such a great person to jam with. And also, you know, being a big fan of his, like, I know most of his music sort of by heart, and I think he would just be, like, so much fun to sing and perform with, you know, having been just an audience member. I had so much fun feeling like I was part of the whole show. Yeah, I think that would definitely be something that I would enjoy. And the last one, a little late, but it's from Frantic Tumble. Hey Tumble. Alrighty, so she asks, what does your ideal night in look like, and your ideal night out? Ideal night in. Okay, like, every time I think about being in a relationship and having, like, a really nice night in, it's always making dinner together, and then watching a movie, and then having a shower together, or, you know, having a shower and then watching a movie, whichever comes first, and then going to bed together. That's kind of my ideal night in. But if we're not living together, then probably, or, you know, if I'm single, like right now, Jesus, it would be coming home, probably making a nice dinner, watching some Netflix, having a shower, and going to bed. Pretty standard boring stuff, I suppose. Depending on the night, you know, replace movie with video game or drawing or doodling, which I've gotten really into lately. Yeah. Ideal night out. I'm actually, like, because I'm pretty lame, I really just love to go to, like, movies, or just go for a walk in the park, or just have coffee and talk. Like, I would love to just go for dinner, go for, like, a nice, doesn't have to be, like, a nice fancy place, but, like, where the food is good. I think that's always more important to me than the price tag. Like, I would rather go to a place where the food was good and it wasn't super expensive than go to some place that was super expensive just because, you know. So some place with really good food and then maybe some music after, or just going and having coffee with someone. That would be my ideal night out. I generally prefer small groups of people to big groups. I always tend to feel kind of nervous, and I'm kind of a wallflower. Like, I'll stick to the walls and not really want to be the center of attention. So I don't really enjoy big groups, but I really like small, intimate groups of people. So yeah. What's something that makes you feel confident? Ooh, it's gotta be lipstick. Lately, especially. I don't know why, there's something about it. Something really sexy about getting to put it on, and you just feel really, like, really strong. It makes me feel very sexy and very, like, in charge. I don't know why, but yeah, so lipstick. What's my favorite color and why? Probably blue. I really like the color blue. When I was going through high school, in fact, my entire room was painted blue. And I really like it as a color. I tend to paint my nails blue a lot. I tend to wear blue eyeliner quite a bit. It's just, I think blue is a really calm kind of color, and it reminds me of the sky, it reminds me of the sea, it reminds me of things that feel very quiet and very beautiful. And it also gives me this feeling of, like, vastness, like something really, really huge. Like, the sky is really, really huge, and the ocean is really, really huge, and so it just gives me this feeling of, like, peace and serenity in the huge, giant mess of things. So yeah, that's what makes me, makes me really like the color blue. So yeah, thank you everybody so much for your questions. I know I skipped over some people I was going through, but each of you was really, really sweet to leave a note, and I hope I did justice to the questions. If I didn't, feel free to bonk me on the head. And yeah, I'm glad I got to spend this time just sort of unwinding, and I hope you've enjoyed unwinding with me. So yeah, thank you.